God is good and He deserves our praise. When somebody does something good for you, if somebody gives you a gift that you really appreciate it, you usually, at least you should, say, thank you. Amen? If it's something you really appreciate, you will say thank you. And then often we will add to the thanksgiving praise, such as, you're awesome. I really love you. You know, thanks so much. You're a blessing to me. That's what it's like. When you're receiving grace and you realize that God has been good and God is being gracious and you're receiving that impartation from Him, and whatever it is in life, we get out of bed in the morning, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah! We praise you. You see, thanksgiving and praise, those are the passwords into the presence of God. Thanksgiving, praise. As we give thanks, amen, we're acknowledging God's goodness. We're acknowledging the gift of grace that God has given us, the life He's given us, the family He's given us, amen, the provision He's made for us. We're giving thanks to God, and thanksgiving produces authentic praise, and praise brings His presence, and in His presence is fullness of joy. So you want joy because joy is your strength. So we need joy because joy is our strength. But the joy begins with gratitude that produces praise that invites, amen, God's presence is wherever there's praise. He inhabits the praises of His people, Israel, right? And you and I in the New Testament are the spiritual Israel. There's still national Israel. God has still given promises to national Israel, but we are the spiritual Israel, amen? There's no longer Jew nor Gentile. Bond nor free, male nor female, but all are one in Christ Jesus. So thanksgiving is so important because it is a password, it is an entry, amen, into the throne of God. The priests would praise God in the beauty of holiness. They would come before Him with thanks and gratitude, amen. And the people would sing and clap their hands as they made their way through the Psalms of Ascent. As they made their way up towards the Temple Mount, they would be singing and celebrating and clapping their hands. And God would direct them, amen. And as they got closer, they would begin to sing things such as, I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart and His courts with praise. And then we worship at His holy hill. There was that table of incense where they would come and you would worship, amen, and offer up intercessions and prayer, right? And that was that sweet, fragrant offering before the Father, amen? And so you and I have been invited into the throne of grace, and we can come freely by way of grace through our faith in God's promise that those who come to me, I will in no wise cast out. Jesus said, those who come to me, I will in no wise cast out. Now, we may feel like a reject, but that God's not rejecting you. The enemy wants you to feel like a reject. The enemy wants to try to convince us that we don't have any value. Have you ever heard that voice before? That there's no point in going on because the enemy lies, doesn't he? What is he after? He's after our faith. He's trying to discourage us. God encourages, the devil discourages. So if you're coming under discouragement, you need to understand what the source is of that. Amen? God invites us. He says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, right? God's way is not a hard way. He says, my yoke is easy. And my burden is light. Our way, the way of the transgressor, is hard. Okay? But God's way is not. When I'm in the way with God, it's not a chore, it's a delight. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you are always with me. You're always with us, Lord. Thank you for sending your Holy Spirit to empower and enable us to do your will today, to be an expression of your heart in this world, God. So, Father, I'm asking you in Jesus' name, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, to take the things of Jesus, to reveal them to us, to sow into our hearts with understanding the truth that will not only set us free, but keep us free. You know, most of us understand that God is a shepherd. He's a provider. He's a protector. He's our merciful high priest. And most importantly, He's our Father. He's the lover of our soul. You know, God really does love us. It's sometimes hard for us to grasp that. Because I think if we're honest, we can take a good assessment of ourselves and say, I'm not very lovely sometimes. Amen. I'm not that maybe the easiest person to love, but God loved me first. But, you know, there are other aspects of God that often don't get talked about. And that is, God is also a king. He is Lord. He is a righteous judge. And He is a mighty warrior. And we need to understand that our God is a consuming fire. Amen? And God, through Jesus Christ, has come to destroy the works of Satan. And He wants to destroy them in our lives. And He wants to destroy the works of Satan in the lives of others. And Jesus has already overcome the devil. And He has given to us the authorization in His name to go and do likewise. But our confidence has to be in the word that God speaks to us, confirming that I said I would be with you. Do not fear. Do not be discouraged. I'm with you. In every place where the soles of your feet trod, I will be with you. I will go with you. I'm going to give you that. If you believe me, you will see it. If you believe, you will receive. Because you receive in life what you believe. If I offer you a gift and you believe, I really mean what I'm saying. I hear it. I want you to have this $1,000. Exactly, right? You're not going to hesitate. You're going to, well, you might say, oh, really? I can't. Well, okay, yeah. But when you receive, you have to reach out with confident assurance that when you make contact with the person given the gift, that that's going to be transferred into your hands. Amen? You have to be confident that those boxes under the Christmas tree are not empty. So, yeah, we may have a little bit of a, yeah. But, you know, so when that Christmas morning comes, you're looking forward, amen, to getting down and getting to work. You ask my brother and I, you know, my sister used to like open it up, you know, one little part at a time. And my brother and I, we just tear it up, you know. We're getting right at it. We've waited long enough. We're getting at it. But, you know, we have to be in a position to receive from God. We have to have faith that God's going to give us what He promised to give us. And so we have to put our confident assurance in God's word, what He says. Now, we know that David was a man after God's own heart. He was known as a man after God's own heart. And so we have to take a look at David's life. We certainly know that Jesus was a express image of the Father, the representative. Amen. If you saw Jesus, you saw the Father as He spoke to Philip. But David was known as a man after. Why was that? Because David humbled himself, became obedient to the Father. Amen. To do whatever He told him to do. David would do whatever the Lord's will was. He would do all of His good pleasure, the Bible says. So he was known after a man after God's heart. And yet we see that David was a shepherd, amen, that cared for the flock. While he was caring for the flock, he was learning how to fight the lion and the bear. God was giving him little assignments that were preparing him for the day when he would ascend the throne and he would begin to rule over his people, Israel. And so David was a warrior as well. David fought battles. And David said In 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 35, it says, He teaches my hands to make war, so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. In Psalms 144, verse 1, David said, Blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. It's no mystery, or it shouldn't be by now, that we are in a battle. We are in a war. You were born into a war zone. And this war is contending, amen, for your soul. The devil wants to destroy, God wants to impart life. So we have to deal with this enemy, because if you don't, he will deal with you. If you don't defeat the devil, he will defeat you. Even as a believer, if you don't put your confidence and your faith and your trust in your God and lean upon him like David did when he came up against Goliath, he wasn't going in his own confidence, but his confidence was in the name of his God. You come at me with sling and sword, I come with you what? In the name of the Lord. God of Abraham, amen? And so, God wants you and I, likewise, to be trained, just like David, for battle. I know some people think that if I just kind of keep a low profile, and I just huddle down in my church pew, hopefully, or just bury my head in the sand, hopefully the storm will pass and nothing will happen to me. Or if I just sit around, sing Kumbaya, or join hands with others and say, we are the world, we are the people, you know, we're going to have world peace. Well, we're in a war. And so we've got to fight to survive. You're going to have to fight to survive. You understand, there are many people, even God's people, Christians, who have been given the authorization to overcome their enemies, but they're being defeated and they're being overcome by these enemies because they are refusing to fight. Come on. If you do not fight, you will be overcome. If you think that you're just going to be passive in your Christian walk, I don't need to pray all that much. I don't need to be in fellowship all that much. I don't need to really be in the Word that much. I'm good. Well, whenever I start to think that I'm all that and I'm okay, I'm really in pride. And when there's pride, there's no grace. Because I'm no longer now depending on God, who is my mighty king and my warrior, man, who will back me up. If I go in his name, he's going to back up what I do in his name. Are you hearing me? And if I just think that, if I just ignore the enemy, he's going to go away. Sometimes that don't work, does it? He's just going to keep coming at you and keep tagging at you and keep saying stuff and keep lying to you and filling your mind with all kinds of garbage and telling you you're no good and tell you you ought to might just kill yourself. And he's a liar and he's a thief, and he knows that God has destiny in you, that God has good in you. God has good intentions for your life, and he wants to steal that from you. But God says you need to take authority in my name, and you need to put that devil in his place, and you should not be listening to his lies any longer. Instead, you need to listen to what I say. I have the name that is above all name. All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Amen. Therefore, go in my name. Represent me. And destroy the works of the devil, because I've authorized you to do that. And wherever you go, know this, I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. He is a faithful God. Amen. And he says, you are my soldiers. I have enlisted you. Don't entangle yourself in the things that would choke out, amen, your life and weaken you. You've got to be in shape spiritually. You've got to be armored up spiritually. You've got to put on that helmet of salvation. You've got to guard your thought life. Amen. And you need to take captive every thought that does not agree with God's truth, with God's word. Yes. Psalms 91 and verse 13. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Now this is the psalm that says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, right? Verse 1. But then it says, to those who abide in that place, who continue in Him, who stay close to Him, He says, to those that stay close to Me, you will do this. You will deal or tread upon these lions and these scorpions. Amen. He's talking about spiritual enemies that you will stomp underfoot. Amen. If I get self-confident, then I begin to trust in myself to overcome. And as soon as I start to shift away from confidence in Christ to confidence in self, I fall from grace. I have no grace to overcome. How many have discovered that already? Do you understand that God is allowing you to fail over and over again until you realize that you can't do it alone? Because what He has for you is glorious, it's wonderful, but by faith He wants us to receive His promise of rest. And He's made available to us everything that we have need of that pertains to life and godliness. Everything. We can come confidently to the throne of grace to receive all that we have need of, mercy, and find grace to help us, right? So David learned how to defeat Goliath by first practicing on the lion and the bear. Look at this, 1 Samuel 17:34. David said to King Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it. He didn't say, I went and hid. He says, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it. That's how we need to be against our spiritual enemies. And remember, it's not your neighbor. It's not your wife or husband. Amen? We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. But there are spiritual enemies. It's a spiritual war that we're involved in. Amen? And he said in verse 36, your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them. Now, how did David have confidence? Because David had learned how to war. Because the Lord had taught him how to fight. Because he was practicing every day with the experiences that he had along the way. Seeing he has defied the armies of the living God, he was not going to put up with it. You and I in Christ have been given everything we have need of to live a victorious life. God wants you to have peace. He wants you to have joy. He wants you to have His love shed abroad in your heart. He doesn't want you to live in fear, fear of death, fear of man. He wants you to live in full confidence that your God is with you, God is for you. And even if man were to kill me, I'm going to a better place. Amen. It's just a promotion. Matthew 11:12. Jesus said, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. How many have ever been puzzled over that verse? Spent some time kind of dwelling on that, meditating and wondering and say, Lord, what is this talking about? It gives you the sense of overcoming a fortified city or castle. In order to siege and take a city, you would have to use violent force to come against it. Understand what I'm saying? The enemy sets up strongholds in our lives. A stronghold is a place of security. A stronghold is a place in our lives where we are sympathetic towards sin. As long as we make excuses for something that we know God is telling us by His Spirit not to do, the enemy has a secure place to stay. And from there, he will try to take more and more territory. And you can go from being joyful and free and happy in Jesus, walking in victory, to miserable and depressed and without peace, tormented, can't even sleep at night. Somewhere the enemy established a stronghold, and from there he begins to take more territory. And so the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. The enemy is fighting against, amen, God's kingdom. There is a war going on, and you and I have become a turncoat to the devil when we said yes to Jesus. So whether we like it or not, we are engaged in battle. However, the good news is that we have mighty weapons. Our weapons are not of human origin. They're not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And God has authorized us, amen, to go in His name, because Jesus has overcome the world, the flesh and the devil. And He has authorized us to go, amen, because He has all authority, and He can delegate it to His church if He wants to, and He has. And so He's saying, you're going to be attacked. The enemy's going to come against you, but the violent take it by force. In other words, we have to become spiritually aggressive. Spiritually aggressive. How many have ever been involved in any type of deliverance before? You've seen people get delivered from demons, and right? Okay. How many realize that sometimes the demons don't cooperate? Sometimes they resist. Sometimes they're stubborn. They're like spoiled brat children. Now listen, there is authority that is given to those who trust God, and their trust is manifested in the fact that they will do what God tells them to do. If I trust God, I will obey Him. Even if it goes contrary to what I may think or do naturally, if it's God speaking and I know it's God, I will act upon that. If I act upon that, then God backs up His word with a manifestation of His glory and His power, right? Such as a miracle if someone is healed. So, I have been authorized as a son, John 1:12, to as many as received Him, to them He gave the authority to become the sons of God. Amen. Born again, I become a son. I have exousia. But every son also has to go through a development period, amen, in times of testing, to where he can be entrusted with more responsibility. Come on, somebody. So we should be growing, and we should be seeking to grow and learning more and practicing more, because how many know that more is better? More is better. Yeah. How many want more? We need more of Him, don't we? So in order to have more of Him, He has to have more of you. It's a matter of yielding. Amen? But authority alone is not always enough. Why? Because you think about it. We've got all these riots going on in the streets these days. And we have police out there who have been supposedly authorized. By the way, thank God for our policemen. Amen? Amen. Pray for them. They've been authorized to protect the public from threats. Amen? From danger. Now, when you have groups of people out there who do not recognize authority, they're going to defy that authority. And in some cases, unfortunately, they've been told to stand down. They can't even do what they're supposed to be doing. We won't get into that. But let's take a look at the authority thing here. If you got a rebellious individual does not respect authority. The devil, he understands two things. He understands authority and he understands power. But he does not understand mercy. You cannot have mercy for the devil. You cannot have sympathy for the devil. He is your enemy and he must be defeated. He must be destroyed. Amen. And so he's not always going to understand authority. Okay? But when he doesn't recognize authority, then what you need to do is you need to meet that resistance with greater resistance. if they're going to quell or put out a riot or put it down, then they have to overpower the people that are in rebellion. Amen? Come on, somebody. So they have one level of force. Maybe it's the number one. They have to step it up to number two in order to overcome the number one. So likewise, your enemy is going to come against you. He's going to be aggressive, and at times he's not going to listen to you just because you have authority. What you need is you need power with that authority. God gives exousia, authority, and he gives dunamis. Acts 1:8, you shall receive dunamis when the Holy Spirit comes against you, amen? Or upon you, and you shall resist the devil. You'll be a witness for Jesus. So those two things need to be working together. If the enemy does not leave when you tell him to, you need to step it up. You need to take a stand. You need to understand who you are. You need to call upon God, amen? And you need to say, no, it's not optional. You will leave. Now, if that person hasn't repented of some sin or taken care of some issues in their own heart, amen, well, they can be given that devil permission to stay. But in our own lives, if we have a repentant heart, if we turn to God, if we've renounced our sinful ways, and we've turned to God, amen, in repentance, and we've come to Him for mercy, well, God is merciful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us, amen, from all unrighteousness, and make us sons and daughters by giving us His Holy Spirit, authorizing us, amen, to walk in His authority. But then when you are dealing with a rebellious enemy, you have to come to the place where you are resolved that I'm not going to tolerate this. You understand? If we just want to be passive when it comes to addiction, for example, well, chances are you can just go down to recovery meetings or wherever they are, or AA classes, and you can stand up and you talk about how much of an alcoholic I am or how great I did today, but yesterday I didn't do so good. Are you hearing me? We can sit around and have somebody else blow our nose for us. Oh, you poor thing. You know what I'm saying? And we can pet each other's sin. Oh, I hear you. I feel your pain. I'm not able to kick this thing either. I've tried. Well, I got it for a day. A day. Okay. Oh, 7 days clean. I think we should claim those things. Amen. And say, thank God I've been cleansed for 7 days. But how about coming to the place where we're saying, no more. No more. I refuse to allow any devil to dictate in my life, to tell me what I'm going to do with this body when this body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. It belongs to God, and God has given me His Holy Spirit, and greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. I refuse to bow down to that devil anymore. I am not a slave to an addiction. I am a son. I am a daughter of the living God. Amen? And by identity, I have already been authorized, amen, to tell these things where to go. Folks, I'm not being arrogant. I'm being confident that my God, I know what God can do because He's done it in my life. He's done it in your life, hasn't He? Now, we've got to meet violence with violence. You need to meet force with force. You don't meet force with passivity. I'm sorry, folks, but peace comes at a cost. Many men and women have died, amen, in defending our freedoms and that we might have peace as a nation. That's an example. But it comes at a cost. In order for me to have peace, it's going to cost me sometimes my own comfort. It's going to cost me my own time. Amen. To get alone with God. Amen. To get on my face before God and start to renounce and start to confess and let God, amen, come in and forgive and cleanse and heal and restore, but it's going to cost me, amen, in order to have peace, I cannot be passive about it. You know, guys, I grew up in the 60s and 70s, yeah. So I understand about, you know, why don't we just kind of sit around, play our drum and sing Kumbaya and we'll all just have world peace, right? How's that working? That's exactly what your enemy wants you to do. He wants you to be passive. He doesn't want you to resist. He wants you to authorize him to do whatever he wants. He wants you to be tolerant of sin in your life. Huh. Now, I'm not talking about just spending all your time wondering if I'm doing right or I'm doing wrong. But when God deals with you about something in your life, what do you do with it? Do we allow the enemy just to set up camp in our brain and our minds? Do we allow the enemy to tell us and feed us lies and accusations and all these things that you're no good, you're worthless, you'll never do, you'll never be? Are you hearing me? We can sit there in passivity and hope, well, I hope he leaves me alone. No. You have to understand that you are under attack. And if he comes at you with level one aggression, you must meet him with level two aggression. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. If you're in Christ, you have spiritual weapons at your disposal. The Word of God. Amen? To speak that Word just like Jesus spoke in the wilderness. Amen? He spoke the truth, and the truth defeated the lie. So we need to be aggressive when it comes to overcoming those things that will steal our joy and our peace from our lives. And we have to come to a place of holy resolve where I'm no longer going to tolerate it. Do you understand? If you don't fight, you will not win. Jesus has already overcome. Has he not? But my responsibility is to enforce what he's already accomplished. It's no different than when our troops went into Iraq and they fought a battle and they established, okay, a stronghold there. And then they brought in new troops to do what? To hold the fort. To maintain that ground, and not only maintain that ground, but from that point to go in and defeat the rest of the enemies that were settled in the hills and other places. You see how that works? In other words, they could not just kind of sit there and play cards and drink coffee. While they were on assignment, they needed to be about the will, okay, of the commander-in-chief. And they needed to hunt down, all right, and get rid of the scourge, get rid of the enemy. Because if you don't do that, guess what? He's not going away. He's going to come back, and he's going to try to take what you've already had a hold of. He's a thief. How many have had that happen in your life where you had victory in an area and you kind of got passive, you got a little bit lazy maybe in your spiritual, right, disciplines, and all of a sudden you find yourself losing what you had. And then you got to go and retake it again. Well, let's just do that. If you've lost something, go get it back. Advance. Don't be passive. Meet aggression with greater aggression, because the greater one is in you. I believe that. I know that. Jesus is Lord. Every knee will bow to him. Of those things in heaven, those things on earth, and those things under the earth. Every knee is going to bow to him. Every tongue will confess he's Lord. Now I want to give you one more example, okay? Well, maybe two. We've got to drive out the enemy. Now, an example from history. I've shared this with you before, but it's important to revisit it. Numbers 33, verse 51. speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you have crossed the Jordan into the land of Canaan, they were getting ready to go into the land that had been promised to them, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Now, this is the problem. Sometimes we're okay with just partial obedience. We're okay with doing some, maybe a little. But all is a big word. But he told them, you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you, destroy all their engraved stones, destroy all their molten images, and demolish all their high places. You shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell in it, for I have given you the land to possess. So God says, I've already given you the land, but in order for you to possess it, you have to deal with all the enemy and anything connected to the enemy. Come on, people have got all kinds of garbage, trinkets and idols and Buddhas and crazy stuff that they brought into their home that has to do with the devil, amen? Even Christians, or they're watching Harry Potter, they're watching all this garbage that's being, you know, propagated today, you know, and they're wondering why their house is a mess and there's chaos in their home and there's no peace in my home and why are we always fighting? And because there's something in your home, possibly, that you have brought in there that is attractive to the enemy. It may even be a stronghold in your mind that maybe you're petting something that God says, I want you to repent of that, and I want you to leave that behind. And you just kind of think, well, Lord, I'll obey you here, but I don't know about over here. I don't know about that all word. You see, there was a reason why God told Israel that they need to get rid of all of these things, okay, that were contrary to God's will for them, that were in opposition to God's rule and reign over them. Every demonic force, every demonic enemy, every habit, every whatever it might be in your life that you know God does not approve of, you cannot pet that thing. You cannot enter into contracts with that thing. You cannot say, oh, well, it's only a little thing. A little thing becomes a big thing, doesn't it? All the enemy wants is just a little sympathy. Just have a little passivity about this thing. Just make excuses of why you just got to have this thing in your life. And God says as long as you're compromising with your enemy, you're giving your enemy permission to torment you. Oh. That's why God says you need to drive all of the inhabitants out. We need to deal with every spiritual enemy that would come against us, come against our homes, our houses, amen, our families, our loved ones, and yes, even our neighbors. We need to come against anything the enemy is throwing at our city. We need to pray. We need to intercede. Where are the intercessors at? Where are the people praying and calling down heaven? Amen. Are you praying? Hopefully you are. We need to call on God, don't we? You see, a lot of Christians just think, well, somebody else will probably do it, so I don't need to. And then you get 100 people say, well, somebody else will probably do it, but I don't need to. And then nobody's doing anything, and the enemy's having a heyday. He's coming against our nation with violence, and the violent, amen, that have the spiritual weapons of God, God's people who have been authorized to destroy His works, are sitting around watching boob tube instead of going to the house of God to pray. And while we're sleeping, the enemy is sowing seed. He's busy. He doesn't sleep. You know, folks, I preach to myself up here all the time. I want to be a man after God's own heart. I want to be faithful to the Lord. I want to be a partner with Jesus in this thing. I don't want to miss out. And if you stumble along the way, get back up. You don't have to beat yourself up. If you stumble, just say, Lord, I'm sorry. Get back in the battle, man. You know, when we used to run formation in the army, you know, some of the guys had been out the night before, you know, having a little bit too much to drink, and they'd get sick and they'd fall out and vomit. But the overcomers would get out, vomit, and get back in the race. Not that I ever did that, but, you know, if I had. In other words, we had the resolve that we're going to finish. I'm going to finish with the team, amen? I'm not going to just fall out and quit and end up on the sick, lame, and lazy truck, as they call it. Some of you know what I'm talking about. The sick, lame, and lazy truck. Have you heard of that? How many of you heard that one before? All right. Anyways, I don't want to be sick, lame, and lazy. Amen. God's called me to be a warrior. God's equipped me. God's called me. God's assigned us, you and I, all of us here. There's greatness inside of you because the Spirit of God is in you. Amen. God wants to, He's a mighty warrior. He's a roaring lion. Amen. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah, and He wants to roar out of His church. And He wants to paralyze those enemies. He wants to put them down. If they come against us with level one, we meet them with level two. And we overcome in Jesus' name. Don't compromise. You got to get rid of all of the works of the enemy out of your life. Anything that God says no to, don't pet it. If you're listening to things you shouldn't be listening to, stop it. Amen. Start listening to praise music. Hallelujah. If you're watching something you shouldn't be watching, start watching good things. Entertain yourself, amen, with the Word of God. And listen to verse 55. But if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land, no, from before you, then it shall be, hear me, that those whom you let remain in the areas where you are compromising shall be irritants in your eyes and thorns in your side. And they shall harass you in the land where you dwell. God wants His people free. He tells us, deal with them. Deal a death blow to your flesh. Deal a death blow, amen, to these demonic enemies that are coming against you. Put out of your house and out of your life anything that's associated with darkness. Amen. Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. Rather, expose them. Level one, we meet with level two. Are you hearing me? And this is the way to freedom. Is by getting a hold of God's promise that I've given you rest. It's yours, but you must go in and possess that rest by dealing with every giant, every enemy that comes between you and your destiny. You must deal with it. You must meet it with equal or greater resistance. And that enemy will flee from you. In Jesus' name, amen. God is a mighty warrior. He's dressed in the armor of light. And He wants to crush Satan under our feet. And so we don't give Him any opportunity. We don't give Him any place. We don't compromise. We don't enter into agreements with Him. Amen. We say no to anything associated with darkness. Because we are children of light. We represent our Father. The Lord emboldens us, doesn't He? He gives us what we have need of. Let's just say this together. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Say it again. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. You remember that when you walk out that door. Don't tolerate anymore. If there are things that God has been speaking to you, and I know He has this morning, you get home. You give that thing proper burial, burn, whatever you got to do, get rid of any garbage, novels, or anything in your house, amen, associated with darkness, get it out of there, amen. If there's something that God is dealing with, if it's an addiction, deal with it, deal the death blow to it. If it comes at you with aggression, you overcome it with greater aggression and say, I refuse to bow down to my enemy. Why? Because I want to receive the promise of God, and that is rest for my soul. Amen. Hallelujah. Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your truth, your word.